In 2025, social media has already centered itself in our national and even international conversation. Whether it's the brief shutdown and uncertain future of TikTok in America, or the participation of industry leaders like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk in the Trump administration. Or we can look here at home in Florida or across the world in Australia, where legislation has been put forward, passed, and is now being implemented, prohibiting children and young teenagers from social media. In this moment, we are having a reckoning and a reconsideration of social media and what it means to us, not just as a nation, but as people. This week, we're weighing the benefits and the challenges of social media.
Like, it's helping people who feel that they don't necessarily have the connections or who don't meet the people who are just like them in some way in their local environments make those connections online. It's finding your people in a way.
Dr. Vanessa Denon researches social media and well-being at Florida State University.
Well, it's so many things, yeah. Right? I mean, social media has so many different functions. I think that a lot of things tend to be human nature more than anything else, not driven by the media, but they perhaps get the dangers of social media is that everything gets amplified really easily and that it's archived. So, you know, therein lie the challenges related to somebody's privacy or not having thought through something carefully enough in a fleeting moment, and then now it's there for all time.
Dr. Denon researches the effect of social media on teenagers, which has been a focal point of legislation.
Well, there's certainly a maturity aspect to it, and you could unpack that in multiple directions. Yeah. There's the maturity to be able to manage seeing things that you might not be able to unsee that you didn't want to see. You know, as we age, we get better able to bracket out those experiences and also to kind of determine who the bad actors might be. But then again, you see the stories all the time of the much older adults who are also struggling with some of these same things. Time is an issue and self-regulation when young people are on social media. But I want to point out that adults actually have the same problem. I do a lot of research with teenagers, and if they have parents, some of them have parents who do not use social media or do not really use phones for anything but work either. But the ones who do have parents who use social media, they make comments about how hypocritical their parents are. You know, complaining that the teens are on too much and, wasting away on their addicted to their phones, all the kinds of things that we like to say. But then they point out that their parents are doing the exact same thing, just perhaps on different platforms with different people.
Yeah, they're sort of modeling the same behavior.
Right. But why is dad trying to correct all of the inaccuracies of the world obsessively on Twitter and seeing if anybody replied to him it'll always be Twitter to me. What actually makes that somehow a more acceptable activity?
Adults, they do experience some of the same effects.
Yeah, absolutely. Adults experience some of the same effects. And this is where I think the challenge comes in with these bans. Is I think it's one thing to say, we know that this can have some negative effects on people overall, and we want to protect our youngest, our least mature, our still developing members of society from that. And fine, that's what the bans are doing. But I feel like we're missing that next step right now, which is, and then when they get access, how do we teach them and the rest of society for that matter to be effective, savvy users of social media who are able to maximize the positive uses and experiences and keep themselves away from the negative outcomes?
it's a business. It's incentivized to keep your attention for a long time. And there's like lots of elements to it, like infinite scrolling, that are built directly mm-hmm. for that. And it seems hard for anyone to overcome what is like psychologically kind of meant to entrap the person.
Right. There's no age attached to that.
Yeah.
And some people fall prey to it more easily than others do. And that, again, is just like one of those human natures and natural differences among people.
But it feels like that alarm isn't raised as much among adults as it is teens and children.
It's not. And, you know, personally, I think that's a problem because it causes this hypocrisy, which then just causes rifts between teens and adults. You know, where teens feel that adults don't understand and adults allow their own behaviors to go on unchecked, which can create conflict within the household. It can create problems in adults' lives with their relationships with people in face-to-face settings. But when you think about, as you were mentioning, the rollout of the technology and the time when it came in a person's lives, the adults who are out there didn't have the opportunity to have a well-supported experience as they enter the world of social media. We could make that happen with young people today. So, you know, instead of saying, okay, and when you turn 16, this is really timely for me. My daughter turned 16 yesterday, right? When you turn 16, here you go, here's your account. But, and now what, right? It's like, go wild. Suddenly you know how to use this. It's everybody who is going to have a learning curve to learn how to just, you know, function on the technology. Everybody's going to end up having a learning curve about figuring out what is comfortable for them and uncomfortable, what their own personal limits are, what the black holes of social media are for them. And it's, again, it's going to vary by person. So like you mentioned the endless scrolling. Yeah. For whatever reason, I'm pretty immune to it. I'll get onto TikTok or Reels, and by the time I've scrolled to the fifth video, I feel disgusted with myself, and I stop. Like, that's it. I'm done. But I can watch my husband, and he can scroll, and get sucked into it. Different people are different.
So you don't feel like we should be banning it up until they're 18, but do you feel like there should be some... Or do you think it would be beneficial to have some restriction at a certain age? Or is it more really like they should just be taught?
I'm not outright against setting some age restrictions. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, even the one for Florida was an age restriction of 16, but then 14 and 15s could use it with parental permission, which is, in practical terms, is going to be its own special kind of mess, because from what I read about it, you know, the parents would have to have an account and give permission, and so the teen wants to be on Instagram but the parent doesn't have an Instagram account. Now the parent's gonna have to get an Instagram account to make this happen. Is the parent gonna want to do that? So those things are gonna have their own complexities, but I think it's a problem if that's the only thing we're doing is just having a ban until a certain age, or a restriction I should say, until a certain age.
Thanks for listening to Speaking Of, the Unbothered Edition from WFSU Public Media. New episodes drop every Thursday, and you can find them wherever you get your podcasts. Speaking Of is produced with support from PRX, and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.